you see the countdown too then? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, bloody sure hell. Do.
Here we go. Is this podcast a bit heavy on your life, Sam?
No, mate, I'm living the dream every day.
Good shit. How are we, fellas?
Good. I'm going good. Yourself?
Bloody good. Bloody good. I only found out the other day that the road from Napier to Gisborne has only just opened up since the floods.
Opens this weekend, I think.
Yeah.
So has it only been open to flying in and out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you could drive to Rotorua.
You got to go the long way around, yeah, if you wanted to go to Napier. Yeah.
Far out.
9-hour drive.
Bugger that. Mm. How you been, Hoodie?
Oh, bloody good, boy. Bloody good. Bloody good. I've just got back from Gisborne today. I pulled into Christchurch last night and then went into Christchurch Aero Club this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And all the kids in tow and the missus, and we're bloody walking through a thing, and you got to get them to bloody swipe their card to let you out.
Yeah.
And there's this this fella there, and as he let me out the door, he goes, "Like your podcast." He's a real good bugger. And I go, oh God, fuck, how did you get onto that? And he goes, oh, Jimbo. Anyway, so we went out, started up, went to go take off, and then went to go take off. I've been sitting there warming it up, ring up the tower. Tower goes, nah, below VFR minimums. Fuck. So shut it off, went back inside, and I said, oh, to this fellow, I go, how do you know Jimbo? And he goes, oh, I follow his egg thing, and then I follow his bloody other page, and then I see that he's got a podcast, and he reckons that you guys are quite funny. Oh, fucking hell.
World famous in New Zealand, eh?
Yeah. Hey?
Did he give you the famous in New Zealand? There you go, Jimbo.
Did he give you the full VIP treatment?
Oh, he's a bloody good bugger.
Nice.
Are you going to give a shout out? You know, or no names?
Well, I'm too rude. I was fucking had my mind on several different things, so I didn't even ask him his name. But he's a bloody good bugger.
Oh, shout out to the good bugger at the Canterbury Aero Club, legend.
Yes. Is there an instructor there?
Yeah, instructor there. He must have been a bigger diddle because he was bloody telling everyone else what to do. So, but he's quite a young fella.
Well, he looks like old.
Him. Yeah, probably.
So you couldn't get special VFR clearance? Did you ask for that?
No, I mean they reckon that the fog is on the ground. I couldn't.
Why were you going out?
Eh?
What were you going out for then?
Oh, I couldn't see to the west. Oh, that's the west of my yarn. So, bloody, I say goodbye. See you later, mate. Fucking, we're off, golf. He said, oh, the fog's lifted. The tower said that the fog's good. You guys can go. And then I jump in the plane. I was like, just don't fuck this up, you know. Like, surely it's not that hard just to take off. You do it all the time. Going to take off, and I bounced the plane taking off right in front of everyone.
Old mate in the Aero Club would have got everyone to watch the fella from the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, what a fuck up.
We can be funny, but it doesn't mean we're good pilots.
No, it doesn't mean anything. Yeah, I knew there was a punchline to my story there, but I couldn't remember what it was. But yeah, that was it.
A bounce line.
I bounced the plane taking off. not landing, taking off. So, anyway.
Busy week though, Hoodie. You're looking a bit knackered, mate.
Thank you, Jimbo. Yep, it's been a busy week. Busy week. Everybody bought a pharmacy up in Gisborne, so everybody be between the here and Gisborne there.
Bloody hell. All go.
Yeah. I can catch up with a flying moustache, though. That was good, eh, Pedro?
Yeah. We had our beer, didn't we?
We went to the bloody quiz night.
That's right, we did too. Hey, we didn't come last.
Yeah, but we were pretty poor.
Yeah. Yeah. Good crowd.
I won a couple of two raffles I won yesterday. I got a meat pack voucher from the local golf club and a bar and bistro voucher.
What for?
For the golf club, so I can buy a dinner there.
Nice.
Won two raffles in one night. No, I can't play.
I was going to say, you're not good at golf.
I went there for the food only, Hoodie. You know me.
Oh, what's on the agenda tonight? Whose is that static?
Can't be me. I can't hear it.
Is it me?
Oh, as soon as I said that, oh.
Probably you then. West Coast internet.
I doubt it, mate. It's a bloody prime location over here.
Definitely you. I turned the mic off and it didn't stop, so it's 100% you. It's about time you purchased something decent, eh? Rather than just a phone. You're
still fucking on that bloody tune, Pedro.
Wasting all your money on pharmacies. Get some real stuff.
I know, eh? Get priorities right.
I'm trying to bloody better the health of the fucking country here.
Sure you are.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that. I thought our topic today, because last time we were supposed to do a podcast was about, I don't know, a month ago, and I was in Aussie then, and I was absolutely poked, real knackered. I did 3 weeks straight, but I'd have one day off a week every Sunday I've got off, and I was just poked from not having a full-time job for a long time and having to do all this work and getting up and all that crap. So I thought we could talk about fatigue.
Fatter guy.
Woohoo! Fatter guy.
It's funny you say that. Funny you say it. Like it's almost like going to the gym, eh? Like, don't go for ages, and then you go flying, and you go hard out, and it hits you hard. Whereas, you know, had you been doing it for a long time, you can do some pretty big days, and it's not so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
And you think it's not so hard, but it still adds up.
Totally. Yeah. And because I get, if I go flying after a long time of not flying, I've got a habit of not drinking enough, and then I get dehydrated, and then everything just spirals out of control from there. And then add in the Aussie heat, and it just goes nuts. Even though I'm drinking now, by the way, even though I'll smash maybe 3 litres or 4 litres in a day, it's still not enough. And those...
Do you piss?
Eh?
Do you piss?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You should it could be dehydrated and pissing. Your body will you can be drinking and body will just flush it. So that's why you put a bit of electrolytes in your water.
Yeah. Hydrolyte.
It retains the fluid rather than just pissing it out. Yeah.
There you go.
There you bloody go.
Yeah.
I'm still getting used to it, though. What's your hydration there, Hoodie? Looks a deep colour.
A red wine.
Oh, so it's not fatigue in your eyes.
No, it probably is, but I'm masking it. Mate, those children, Jesus Christ. I still don't say why bloody kids will drive you to drink, because fucking hell.
You understand the midday wine, eh? Like, do you explain. Know, like you pick up the kids, you know, like on Monday, and you're like, I'm not going to drink until the weekend. And about probably Wednesday at about 2:30, you start like, fuck it, let's get the bottle open. But honestly, kids. Yeah. You can understand the whole wine drinking sort of stay at home mother scenario.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can see it. And then
yeah.
And then they want a drinking buddy, so they invite the neighbour over, and next thing you know,
you're in a wine club.
Yeah. Oh, a book club. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a way easier to handle in a wine club.
Yeah.
What's your guys' busiest week you've ever flown? How many hours? Do you know?
I know when I was getting up to about 50 productive, they were getting big sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just productive, eh, Pedro? Like, that doesn't include all your theory time.
Yeah.
And all your stuff on the ground, bloody organising your work and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty busy. Especially the old Pistons used to have a 50-hour check. And the old stories of the top-dressing pilots would be they'd book in every Friday for a 50-hour, and they'd be there like clockwork every single Friday. I don't know how they could do that.
Ooh.
I think my biggest... Not
that, you know, like... Where you go?
Have we got a delay here?
We must have a delay. This is the worst it's been.
We're stop-starting. If you start talking and then just keep talking and I'll stop, let's do that. Such a big delay. Hoodie hasn't even caught up yet. The West Coast is still gone.
What's your biggest week there, Jimbo?
I think 74 hours. It was spring, so it was all productive, but that was the total as well. I was pretty knackered. Definitely knackered. That was overseas.
Yeah.
I think I knew it was a week that I was tired, and I knew we were going from dark till dark pretty much. So I knew it must be the busiest I'd ever been. And then did a calculation later on. But before that, I think survey flying, my busiest week was 60 something hours, which is still a lot, but even more when that was the first job I ever had. Might have been my first week surveying was that, and my first month was like 200 and something hours. Just nuts.
Straight into it.
But at the same time, when it was your first job, it was all cool.
That's right.
Laughing it up.
Yeah.
So, how long do you reckon, like, during those big weeks you guys are talking about, did you start to realise that you might be getting a bit puffed?
Don't know.
Or did you not?
I think I notice more now. Like, I'm more aware. I know when I come back. So now, yesterday was my first day flying back here, and I knew I needed to drink more, and I try and eat a little bit more than I normally would to try and compensate, because I know if I don't have enough soon enough, I'll go down quicker. I'll hit the wall a lot faster, and it's harder to get back up. But,
or are you just getting old?
Yeah, a little bit of that too. I'm only 28 now.
Fuck off. Are you 28?
I think I was born the same year as you, Pedro.
38. You sort of touched on an important thing, like recovery, and like eating and water really helps your recovery. So like, even though sometimes you don't feel like eating a lot, it is still really important to keep eating, keep drinking, and it helps. So when you do sleep, you're recovering, so your next day you're better off.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, that's probably a part of my issue too. I'm trying not to eat so much because I'm in my old lifestyle of eating too much. That's what I'd do if I wasn't working.
Eating healthy stuff.
Yeah. Eating healthy stuff.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. What did you do, Hoodie? Did you recognize when you were getting down?
I don't think so. I think that, like what you said earlier, I did all my flying really when I was younger. So you've got a lot more endurance when you're younger. So I was riding more on excitement probably and didn't realise that I might have been getting fatigued. Like, but I could do, you know, we could do big hours and you still go home and exercise and still do all that stuff. We were doing, Pedro, 1,200 hours a year, top dressing, and we were still going for a big bloody bike ride at the end of the day or in our days off. Had heaps of energy. What was that?
A medium to small bike rides.
Wow, compared to what you
just
do.
To be clear.
Big bike ride for me, but
round the block.
But we're still doing all that stuff and doing
we're
stuff
exercising.
So, because I got crook, and then once I went back flying, it was a lot more noticeable. I couldn't do what I used to do, so. So when I went back, it was you'd do something and you'd come home and you knew you couldn't do anything else. Like you'd just you'd go straight to the couch and stuff. So I suppose that's a pretty good indicator. If you can't do anything else apart from your job and you've got no energy for anything else, then that's a pretty good indicator that you're fucked.
So you noticed that in yourself. Did you do anything to remedy it?
I told the boss man to bloody, that'll do. I had to stop flying because you're bloody, you know, there's so many stories of people that just keep pushing it and they either end up with a whoopsie or going beyond the point of repair. So you know in yourself, the only reason you push yourself is because you don't want to let anyone down. So you just got to be honest to yourself without being a fucking pussy. Like really, eh? Like you hear stories of people just pulling the piss, but you know what I mean. Like, yeah. There's an area in there somewhere.
Are you talking, Pedro? Can you hear? You go on.
Pedro,
yeah, I can see you.
It's Pedro. He's the static man.
I don't know why, but I can't hear you at all. I can see you, but I can't hear you.
That's right. He's dyslexic. If he just sign language, it'll probably come across better anyway.
Oh, it is sign language week, isn't it? Topical. Not going to work well on a podcast where it relies heavily on sound.
If he just twitches his mustache to the left for yes and twitches his mustache to the right for
no. you might have to sign out and come back. I don't know what happened there. He's still there. No, he can't even sign out now. He's lost. He's gone.
Oh, what do you reckon, breakfast? Do you reckon that's right? Or fuck it,
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. I think that the tricky bit is knowing Pedro. Nah, Try your plug. Pull it out and put it back in. Oh, I can hear you there.
Ooh. Cool. We'll stick with that, eh?
We got it. Good echo.
He had one job.
It's echoing a lot, eh?
I know. Mother. Hold on.
Is it a battery-powered headphones?
Nah, how's that? Is that better?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, we're back. We're back. Sorry about that, guys.
Jesus. We're slowly getting better at this, folks. We'll get there one day. Where were we, Hoodie? Oh, so if you're getting fatigued, yeah, I think it's a tough one because I know now because I've found out the hard way what happens when I've got myself crook. And for me, it's always started from dehydration of some form. I remember in particular when I started contract flying. So instead of being full time where you'd sort of, you'd always have some form of work on, I would do it in batches, a couple of weeks at a time. And every time I'd start back, I'd just get poked real quick, real knackered, and wouldn't drink enough, and I'd lose it. And I remember one week I was in the Hawke's Bay, and I was just that knackered. I was in between loads. I was sort of leaning against the canopy of the Cresco, not so much sleeping, but just zoning out for a second and giving myself that minute. And I know I should have stopped, but I don't know why I didn't. But it's from that and then later on reflecting on how dumb that was, and then now realizing that, but standing up to myself and saying, nah, this is bullshit.
Hard thing, isn't it? Standing up to yourself, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time. But, it works, like getting up and getting out of the plane and going for a walk around or something is usually enough. Or even, like, I've had a few kips under the wing. Have you guys ever done that?
Yeah, that was standard practice.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Sleeping under the bin roof.
Not Hoodie. But would you do it even though you've got work? Like, you wouldn't just do it when you're waiting for Fert to arrive or anything?
Like you got to the point where Doomball, every time you come into the landing, they'll falling asleep. So you're like, right, it's time to have a sleep. So just pull up and have a snooze.
Yeah. So you've actually nodded off in between loads.
Not nodded off, but definitely like eyes keep falling down, your head keep nodding off, and
And what'd you do?
Yeah. Not just sleep for half an hour and carry on. Probably not a good way to be. I do have a story of I'm not going to name names, but had to drop a loader driver off to an airstrip and try to call up the pilot, like just let him know I'm coming in land. Couldn't get hold of him. He was parked on the ground, so I thought he must have been in the bin or something. Landed, and he's lined up, loading the plane in fine and not moving. And so pull up, and he was fast asleep.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a hard one because I had to try and wake him up. But it's in fine. So, wasn't cool.
Jeepers.
Yeah.
I've had a
couple of times, like when I was doing my ag rating, my loader driver fell asleep and I ended up having to loader drive. So, and then, I've had a couple of times where I've had loader drivers fall asleep. Like they just fall out. Sleeping.
Didn't you have to go bloody find your loaded driver at a party one time?
Yeah, that's not fair. I was meant to be going to a wedding. He was meant to be going to the 21st. Typical thing. Weather was crap. One day the weather's good was the day after the wedding / 21st. And so I was like, mate, we've got to work. And so I was sensible. He wasn't so much. Like, later that day, I knew where to find him, and so I was like, fuck it. I knew he was going to be in a bad state, and so went and grabbed a couple of pies and some Powerade and a V and picked him up and put him in the plane, and because the truck was there, so he didn't have to drive the truck at least. But, yeah, about midday, I was like, oh, fuck, man, I think we might be leaking hydraulic fluid. And he goes, nah, it's all vomit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck
yeah. Yeah.
I've had one loader driver who he fell asleep but was awake. Like, we did a couple of big weeks, and it was in that afternoon period where, you know, where it's probably siesta time, and we're working off the same strip all day, so it was pretty monotonous. And I was coming into land once, and we've all got radios so I can talk to the loader driver, and he jumps on there, it's mid-afternoon, and he starts talking about chicken for lunch. And I was like, oh, what's that, sorry? He's like, oh, you're gonna get the chicken for lunch. I said, oh, didn't really know what to say, but I said, oh, do you need some lunch? I've got some in the back. I just mumbled something, and I got the load and then took off, and then I called him back up. I was like, oh, are you sorted for some more lunch? Is that what you want? And then he's like, oh, what's that? And he sounded a bit different. I was like, oh, you were just asking about some chicken for lunch. He's like, oh, might have just drifted off for a second there. So he had gone to a whole other place, and
still,
and
in the meantime,
yep, still loaded the plane. Yeah. I thought that was a pretty good effort.
We should probably cancel this podcast. We're going to put the whole egg industry under review, probably.
Nah. Yeah. I think one of the big things is routine, you know, like sticking to your routine. Because one of the biggest things with fatigue is, like, you don't necessarily know the level of fatigue you're in, sort of thing. You don't always recognize it. And you do start making mistakes. You do start making bad decisions. But if you've got to stick to a routine, it's easier to pick it up when you're missing something, like when you skip an item or skip a thing that you don't normally do. That's a good indicator of something's happening.
It also saves you if you do fucking skip a beat, then your autopilot will kick in, and hopefully you do stuff that you'd, you know.
That's why, like, routine's so important, you know. Like, you sort of drum it in, always do it the same way.
Yeah.
And that way, if you do miss something, that should be a alarm bell going, well, maybe I am a bit tired, I am moving a bit slow, sort of thing.
Yeah, totally. That's probably the biggest challenge for contract flying is going from
Hayes Burgess is frozen.
Yeah.
Oh, I can see you and hear you guys. Have I disappeared?
No, mate, you carry on. You bloody, where you go.
All right. Yeah, if you're contract flying, especially, so you're going different areas, different aircraft types, and even the same type but different regos, if you haven't got your basic routine, so your pre-flight, so always have a pre-flight and know the things you're going to do and the order you do them, but for everything else, that's helped me a lot.
Yeah,
but especially now, going, this is a new area, a new aircraft, kind of a new discipline doing spraying, so everything's all new. And trying to get that routine right from the start.
Yeah.
But it's all the same things that I'm doing in any other job with any other plane, but it's just doing something here. Like, I'm trying to think of some things I was doing before I came home, because there's a few things I was starting to pick up on. Like, one is in this particular plane, it's got electric flaps, and it's a little center return switch thingy. And I had a routine, and this is in the Thrush, the 710. It's hydraulically operated doors. So your dump is you push a little button, but it needs to be armed first. And then you disarm it once you're airborne, because it's easy to accidentally nudge it and tip some chemical everywhere. So I'd take off, just before takeoff, I'd do my normal check, stir the porridge, flaps, fuel, and then start feeding it. And as well, before that, I'd arm the hydraulic system and then get on my way, take off. And you always had to bring the prop back on this one, on all of them really. And it'd be the three things that I'd do after takeoff is the flaps, the prop, and then disarm the hydraulic door. And I remember it was probably two loads in a row. I was maybe halfway back to the block before something in my head just shook me. I was like, I haven't done something. And then looked down and the prop's still at full rar and the dump thing's still armed. But I might have raised the flaps, but that was it. And then, yeah, I don't know what it is in me. I don't know if it's experience or just drumming it in, but it was interesting that these were happening in real time.
And like you were saying, like going to new places, going different machines, that in itself can be fatiguing. Like just new, learning something new does drain you mentally, which the brain is a muscle and it, you know, affects your fatigue levels. So sort of having that self-awareness and going, right, I'm somewhere new, I'm flying a different machine, and just setting the expectations different to had you been flying that same machine month on, month out sort of thing, you know? Or even when you haven't been flying for, say, a month because of bad weather and you come back and you're like, first couple of days, I'm just going to ease myself into it because I'm not game fit. So, you know, that's quite a good way of combating it.
When you see your buddy jump into a plane that you haven't constantly been flying, your alert levels are so much higher, it takes so much more energy.
Yeah.
Because you wonder what the fuck old mate before you's just done in that machine. So, yeah, definitely more tiring being in a new machine, even if you are familiar with it.
I had one the other day. So, like, I flew one plane, dropped it off for maintenance, and it hopped in a completely different aircraft with a completely different starting sequence, both the same engines. One, the igniters are on automatically, so as soon as you turn the starter on, the igniters come in. The second machine doesn't have that one. You have to, you know, hit the starter, put igniters on, put fuel in. So I'm sitting in this other machine, hit the starter, put fuel in. Like, something's not right here. I was like, oh, fuck. And that, you can't turn your igniters on at that stage because it's just going to go kaboom. So it's like, cut the fuel, motor it over. You're like, oh, fuck. But I, like, self-reflection on that, there's a lot going on there. And but big one was I've been doing a lot of hours, not necessarily flying, but a lot of working hours. And so that was on a Friday. And I was like, oh, no, I need a day off sort of thing. So took a two-day weekend.
That's a good point too, Pedro. I don't know if we'd said it already, but it's not just your flying hours, it's all the hours that you're doing.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of hours at work in aviation that are not flying hours. It's just it's the nature of the beast. And you have to take all that into consideration, all that thinking time. You're not switching off, you're always thinking about something. So that's a real good one to be aware of.
Yeah. You know, another one I always found was so it's not just working, like we think a lot about flying hours and working hours, but it's actually the other side of the equation, sleep hours, how much actual sleep and good quality sleep are you getting, you know? So it's like, do you have good blackout curtains, or is it noisy, or is it hot, you know? That all affects the quality of your sleep. So you go into summer, you know, your day, your night hours might only be 6-7 hours of actual darkness, you know, so your body physically can't get that sleep that you need, and it's hotter. We're working more, so all those little things add up, you know, and it all comes, it all sort of, you know, longest day of the year is the 22nd of December, and historically that's when we have a lot of accidents in our, in ag, is in that month.
Because everyone's on the fucking piss, Pedro.
Now, some of you's on the fucking piss. Some of us out there working, hoodie. I'd be working New Christmas Eve and be like, what are you guys up to? Well, oh, we're fucking having a beer. Oh, good on yous. Down here in Wairua. Keeping the company going.
Paying for all the hoodies' days off.
That's right.
6 days, boy. 6 days.
6 days off, 1 day on.
Yeah.
Even that one, did you guys still have a day off, like a set day off a week? Like I have every Sunday off here.
We had to fight hard for that.
Oh, Pedro, he's fucking digging deep. No, we were 7 days a week, we were. So we were fucked. But it was pretty hard work. And then, we managed to get 6 days a week. And that works to an extent, but, you know, continuous 6 days a week doing sometimes 15, 16-hour days still doesn't really cut the mustard. So, I mean, you just got to fucking weigh up your own situation and do what you know is right. Like I said again, without being a pussy, but there's a job that you've signed up for, but you've got to do it safely too. So without putting yourself at risk in the aircraft. I think that Andy says it right with the, as long as you bring the aircraft back safely, then you're good. So what does it take to do that? And your fatigue state or whatever the fuck you call it is a good marker for that.
Yeah.
And like also understanding not every hour is equal. So like you could be on one job, nice long airstrip, the same product, easy peasy. You can do massive hours. But if you're doing like 10 ton here and 20 ton there, you might on paper not be doing that many hours, but fuck, it's a lot harder.
Or a tricky airstrip.
There's a shitload more to think about.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can relate that to anything. I think back to the old instructor mate I met today, like every day he's dealing with someone different, possibly. So, you know, it's a lot to think about. I thought long and hard about that instructor fella today after meeting him. I thought, because I could never do it. I would never have that patience. Like it takes a special person to have the patience for someone else, and I just don't have that naturally. So
I agree.
That would take a lot of energy. So to see that I'm pretty sure that place is open 7 days a week. I don't know what their roster system is or anything like that, but you know, if they're doing those sort of days, there's a lot going on there for them as well. And, and we know in general aviation.
I was just going to touch on that. I was talking to a pilot the other day, not naming names again, but he had 2-3 jobs. Like he was an instructor for one outfit. 4 days a week, instructor for another outfit 1 day a week, and then did another side hustle, you know. And again, he wasn't doing big hours, but his thing was like his mind is in 3 different places, and you know, like he was burning himself out sort of thing because of it.
Yeah, what you were saying before, Hoodie, about your old boss there, that's I think that's the biggest part of it. It comes down to the culture of the company you're with. Like I've been with some companies where if I wasn't feeling up to it, I just wouldn't go to work. I've done it once where I'd wake up and for probably no real reason other then something wasn't quite right. I didn't go to work that day, and there's no one. There was never even a question asked.
There wouldn't be, because if you're a good bugger and you go out there every day and you do your best, and if something's not right, no one will either question you because they know that you're a bloody not a theory.
Not all bosses are equal, though. Like, I do know other guys who work for companies where they get told to go straight back out, or like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh, they fucking suck a dick.
They are out there. Like, trust me, like, I've had people contact me.
What should you do in those situations then, Pedro? Let's say you're a lower houred pilot, and you're on your first job, but you're absolutely poked. You're 2 months in, and you're just starting to feel it.
So I guess the old me would have just carried on, you know, get through it, sort of thing. But knowing what I know now, I'd just walk away. Like, anyone who's getting put into a situation like that, walk away. And like Hoodie said, we can't be too precious, but, you know, like, here is a limit. And if you're not comfortable, you got to be quite strong. Yeah. And if your boss isn't supporting you, the people above you are not supporting you, then that's... Because the consequences are too high. Like,
as long as you're not fucking pulling the piss to go to your old mate's bloody birthday party or something like that.
Yeah. I always said to, you know, guys I work with, you know, we're not working at Pack and Save. You know, like, if we get on the piss and all real tired and come to work and we fuck things up, if you're at Pack and Save, it's not a big consequence, you know? Like,
what if a scalpel's on you, though, Pedro?
Well, like, it depends on what you're doing at Pack and Save. But you know what I mean. If you're stocking the fruit, it's not that high of risk. But in our line of work, load of drivers and the pilots, you can't afford, you've got to have a lot of home life discipline, you know, and have the discipline to get up in the morning and be aware that, fuck, I'm actually really shit today. I'm not going to, I need to actually say something to someone, you know? And it might be you just need a day off, but high consequence, you know? Like, I know of a chap who, he had a second job. He was a loader driver, working at a bar, but we were starting at 5 a.m. and he had a bit of a whoopsie, and like, the whoopsie wasn't purely through fatigue, but it certainly, that was an ingredient in the incident, you know? Like, what happened was he reverted back to old muscle memory, you know, and did something that he shouldn't have, you know? And had he been more alert, I would say it may have not happened. So, you know, like, fatigue is one of those things that it's not normally not always the main culprit at an accident, but it's definitely a contributing factor, isn't it? You know, like...
Oh, the old Swiss cheese.
I was taught by when I just started doing my ag rating, and one of the fellas came up to me and said the best bit of advice that I was told, and I'm going to tell you, is to eat little and often rather than have your three meals a day where you just scoff your face and then all you want to do is fall asleep.
You fucking took that to the extreme, didn't you?
I eat lots and often.
You know, he's right. And, like, we've got to treat ourselves like we're in a high-performance industry. Like, you know, it doesn't feel like it. We're, you know, flying a slow plane, low level, but it is high performance. And so we should treat ourselves like high-performance athletes, you know? Again, because of that high consequence of when we do fuck up, it's normally pretty bad. It's not like a little whoopsie. But, you know, let's face it, if we have a bad day, it can end in death, you know? I've always thought of myself as, you know, a high-performance athlete that treated myself as such. You know, so sort of thought, what would the All Blacks be doing? You know, how are they sleeping and how are they eating and drinking before?
But you actually are a high-performing athlete.
No. Like, from the top, I'm meaning top dressing, like, we're professional pilots, you know? So we should act like professionals. So yeah, it means eating properly, drinking properly, and actually finding out the science behind it all. And, don't, you know, like eating good food,
100%. Drinking good water. Someone overseas who does airline stuff, but I guess it's still relevant. He gets up an hour early and meditates. Have you ever thought of that or know anything about that?
Yeah, so I would get up an hour early. Well, I would always get up an hour early, but I do breathing exercises. So Wim Hof breathing.
That's really.
You basically hyperventilate yourself for about 30 seconds and then blow all your air out of your lungs. And then you hold your breath with no air in the lungs for as long as you could. And I could get up to about 2.5 minutes with, like, blow all the air out, hold it, then hold it for 2.5 minutes, breathe normal for a minute or so, do it again, and I do it 3 times, and I would just feel amazing. Like, I was like, holy fuck, a whole new man.
There's heaps of research around that stuff. Like, that's the golden stuff.
Flying on like a short airstrip and things started getting sporty. Like normally when it got too windy, you'd have to go home. I found just using breathing exercises would allow me to start flying better. You know, I just start concentrating on blowing air out, nothing else. And all of a sudden it was like the turbulence and the wind shear and the wind disappeared and I could just carry on working. Probably shouldn't have been, probably too windy. But
you're a Buddhist pilot, Pete.
But you could fly, you know, like flew way better rather than thinking about flying, just thinking about breathing. Yeah.
What was that? Wim Hof thing or whatever you called it?
Wim Hof.
Where do you find that, Pedro?
On the internet.
Is it just called that?
Can you spell it?
No, fuck.
But that's why they reckon Wim Hof. That's why they reckon breathing exercises doesn't get any attention because it doesn't make any money.
You've been reading the same books I've been reading.
Yeah, I have. They're bloody good.
Cool. Yeah.
What books?
Breathe.
Breathe, it's called. It's bloody good.
Yeah.
You listen to that.
Available on audiobook?
Eh?
Available on audio?
Yeah,
no,
it is, yeah.
I'll write that one down.
Yeah, breathe. I think it's the lost art of breathing.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw on one of them, it might have been the same chap. He's talking about something that sounds similar, but he's also saying one good thing to do that sort of helps to relax you as well, if you take a deep breath, as deep as you can, and then once you've got nothing more, just shove more real sharply into your lungs, and then once you breathe all of that out, it gets rid of the extra carbon, whatever the hell's in your lungs, and it just fills you up even more on your next breath. And I think that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, Dutris. That was.
Hey, you are welcome, Sam. You're welcome.
You know when I when you go take your kids to like sports things and you gotta sit there for half an hour waiting while they do stuff like swimming or running and all that to kill the time, like, because my kids pull me up if I go on the phone, they're like, "Dad, you're on your phone." So it's like, oh, how am I going to make this day go faster? So like,
you're going to look like the weirdo in the fucking rest of the crowd doing these weird breathing exercises.
Well, I do exactly what you just said, Jimbo, and like I'd get like a real funny high. Like being like in fucking La La Land. Yeah. Yeah. It was kills time. Mate, makes swimming lessons really easy.
Fuck, we just lost half of our viewers for looking fucking like weirdo.
The half of the viewers with kids, you know, they're going to thank us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're not on your phone as a bonus.
That's right. Yep, you're in La La Land, but you're not on your phone. Yeah, but no, seriously, like breathing meditation, it does help, you know, like it does help you focus, it does help reset your morning, and it can make a long week or a long month easier.
Mm. It would be what would that be, 10, at least 10 years ago when I was loaded driving Bruce Peterson, and he said he would wake up half an hour and just do, I can't remember what he was exactly doing, but he said he'd meditate for half an hour before he got up and just change his whole day.
Wow. Yeah. How early did you get up before you would go flying? Did you ever set time?
I'd have pre-made lunch, so.
I like longer, so I'd normally get up about 4, but if I could get up an hour and a half before takeoff, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah. I reckon I'm about the same.
Before pre-flight.
Remember that one time I was loading you, Pete?
And I found... You're a bit like the guy I found at the start of the podcast.
Was it Sam you picked up from the 21st party?
No, he wasn't at a 21st party. He was at my doorstep.
That was kind of clever.
Yeah, he had drank a whole bottle of tequila.
At least I can't get fired at the moment. So
tell us that story.
He probably doesn't remember.
Oh, I was so broke, like proper broke. And I was so broke, broken up with the...
That's right.
And people everybody his house. And all I could afford was a... well, they'd just gone to Mexico or America or something, and they bought me a bottle of tequila. And all I could afford was a Just Juice to go with it. Tequila and Just Juice for the night. And at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, when Pedro Pedro's missus thought it would be a good time to go to bed, Sam thought it would be a good time to go to town. And he went to town.
No. I told him we were working the next day too. It wasn't like...
Someone worked outside McDonald's and asked me where I was staying. I don't know how I told them I was staying, but they got me there, and I was just about to knock on the door, and Pete opened up the door to go out for his morning piss to look at the weather. And I fell in the door. Yeah.
Oh, Pete, that was a fun day.
I don't think I made you go to work. I made up some lie that weather's bad.
Yeah.
Good friend. What a good friend.
The amount of times I got in trouble for hoodie. Fuck.
Oh, I can't hear that.
Yeah, no, I couldn't hear anything you said, hoodie.
Oh,
yeah, it's your one on the fritz.
Oh.
I can hear you now. Yeah. I fell asleep once while I was flying, which wasn't good. That was overseas doing a ferry flight. And there's a few things that led to that, which were interesting. So that was doing the survey stuff. And so we're doing big hours, big weeks, and we had to take the plane down to South Africa from Central Africa somewhere. And we normally fly with two crew, but this time that computer geek, whatever they were called, wanted to come for a flight. So it was just me and him. And no one got along with that fella, myself included, and he was wanted to come. Yeah, it was.
Sorry, carry on.
Chewy. We called him Chewy. Chewbacca, I don't know why.
Chewy, that's right, Chewbacca.
So he wanted to come, and I think he didn't ask us. He asked his superiors, and then they decided he should come. So he had to come, and he wanted to fly the plane, and I just didn't want him to. But I was pretty knackered, and we were up at 10,000 feet. which is as boring as batshit for me anyway at the time. And the flight, it would have been like 2 or 3 hours to the border. I think we were in Angola to go clear customs. And then it was from there direct to South Africa somewhere, and it was going to be, I don't know, 9 hours, whatever it was. Long time anyway. And got airborne up at 10,000 feet, nice and warm, blue sky, and knackered. And I didn't want this fella to touch the controls out of spite. He wasn't a pilot either. And I think it all just caught up with me, the quietness and that. You know, when you're up that high, there's no autopilot in this one, so it's completely manually flown, and it was sort of drifting as it does. And then it was only a microsecond I dozed off enough that the plane, when I shook myself too, the plane was around about 60 degrees on a bank, and the nose dropped a little bit.
What was Chewy doing?
He was sleeping as well.
Of course he was.
Yeah. You gone, Hoodie? Yeah. Your voice is gone. But yeah, it was that woke me up for the rest of the flight, and that would only been a couple of hours into it from leaving the border. But yeah. It's an interesting one. I wouldn't recommend it. It's forced me to wake up a few times, just that alone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. I guess one more story on sleeping, and it's not so much fatigue, but the lack of sleep. So, like, you both know, like, I lost my medical. A lot of that leading up to that was not sleeping. I wasn't sleeping at home, and it was all getting insomnia. And, like, fuck, things get weird when you don't get sleep. Tell you that, you know, like, and then since then I've had time, and not like recently, but I've had time throughout, you know, you are sleep deprived, and like you might only be getting a couple of hours of sleep a night sort of thing, and yeah, it just fucks you up sort of thing. So
yeah. Is there things that you know you can do that can get you back on top if you are starting to get that way?
So like I think like it's no phones, no devices, cold showers before bed or shower before bed. And then the big one is just accepting that you're awake. So like if you go, fuck, I'm awake, I need to be sleeping, I've got work in the morning, I can't be awake, you know, it keeps you awake because you're worried about being awake. Whereas if you go, yeah, I'm awake, and just let it go, it's easier to fall asleep at that point. It's quite a funny one. But it's like, just don't stress about not sleeping. It's a really good one. Stopping you. He was almost back.
Yeah. Not working, Hoodie. It's the internet telling you.
Yeah. Past your bedtime.
Well, I don't know why it's doing that. It's done it for all of us now. Maybe we'll have to try it again another time. Or is he going to go and come back? He might be doing that. While he's away, we can quickly touch on your thing coming up in a couple of days.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess by the time this podcast comes out, it may have already been on. But Tuesday the 16th at 8:30 PM. It's
of May 2023.
Yeah, May. Yeah, it's the one, May 2023, and it'll be on TV NZ on demand for those who missed the live show. So it's basically my story about going through my ag career, being involved in a fatal accident, carry on working after the accident. And then just that whole work overload, life overload, finally breaking down and just too much happening and losing medical and then getting diagnosed with PTSD and having to learn to fly again. It's sort of funny, like, I don't know if we've talked about it much on the podcast, but for a period, I was shit scared of flying. Like, just, I couldn't touch a plane without having a panic attack. And, so sort of the TV shows a bit about coming back from that and getting back into the plane and getting back onto life as normal.
Yeah, good stuff. What is it like? What was the name of the show, the TV show?
I am.
I am. Oh, yeah. Do you know if that's going to be available for overseas viewers?
I'm not sure. Definitely if you got a VPN account, and definitely if you can log into TVNZ on demand. Have a look.
Bloody magic.
I can find out, see if it is available somewhere else. But yeah, I got showed the kids last night because it's been ages since I've seen the actual Final Cut. Yeah, so is I think they've done a good job putting it together.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll keep an eye out. I'm not sure if I'll be able to see it from over here in Aussie, but if they do it on Facebook, I know a few of those put the whole thing on Facebook. If they do that, would be good.
You should be able to, eh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tuesday the 16th. Yeah.
When's it?
Yeah.
Oh, still not fixed, Toddy.
Still no good, mate.
Anyone that's listening in, I'll try and find a copy that can be watched from anywhere in the world, and I'll chuck it on my page and share it around. Or if I can link it to this podcast, I'll have to figure that one out. But if I can do that, I'll do that. So have a read of the blurby McBlurb hole and see what you can find. But yeah, looking forward to it. Should be good.
Yeah, it should be good. The reason I've gone on TV to tell the story is a bit like any other sort of thing we do. Is the reason we tell stories is so other people can learn from it and not make those same mistakes, sort of thing. So hopefully people can take away some stuff from it. Certainly, for me, I didn't think I would ever suffer from depression or anxiety. Never thought anything like that would ever happen to me until it did. Like, right up until the point of that happening, I thought I'd be sweet. Thought I was just, having some tough, long days, and I'd be sweet as. And then it was a bit like we were talking earlier on, fatigue, the workload just got higher and higher and higher, and the days off just stopped happening, and just eventually the body said, no.
Yeah.
When I broke it, it sort of broke for the worse. Yeah. So prevention's far better than cure in these things.
Yeah. And as well, there's clearly, as you're showing, there's light at the end of the tunnel. If things are not where you want them to be, it doesn't mean to say it's going to be like that forever.
That's right. And I know, again, like for me, people tell you, it'll get better, don't worry. But it felt like it wasn't, and you feel like you get better, and then you go downhill, something would trigger, and I'd go back downhill, and like, fuck, and you just end up getting to the point you couldn't be fucked pushing anymore, trying any harder,
Yeah.
And so that's another reason. It's like, well, I know you can get through it. It's tough, but you can. And so, yeah, hopefully if anyone is having a hard time, if they've watched the show and realize it's not all, gloom and gloom, there is an out. And if you're a pilot, it's possible to get your medical back, I lost my medical, when I had a panic attack. Doctor said to me, either you phone the CAA or I phone the CAA, but someone's telling the CAA. And so lost the medical, and I had depression, I had anxiety, some mild suicidal sort of stuff, and pretty open and honest to the CAA about it all. And within 12 months, and I had a really, 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 really strong fear of flying. Like, just the idea of flying would be enough to put me into another panic attack and would fuck me for a week. But I sort of worked with the professionals and just learned to overcome that fear of flying, and learned to overcome depression and anxiety and all of that stuff, and get medical back.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Been back flying 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah. Bloody brilliant. Good on you. Looking forward to watching that. And like I say, folks, I'll I'll try and find a link for you all to watch it, especially if you're not an NZ, but if you are, TVNZ on demand.
Yes.
I am.
Cool.
Shit hot. All right, fellas, shall we call it there? Because Hoodie's just been ridiculous. Good to see you all. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Good to see you, mate.
Catch up next
time. Happy flying.
Yeah. Have a good one. See you, fellas. See you, everybody. All right.